Hello and welcome to episode 122 of the Blue Cup Tools podcast. I'm Francisco Gonzalez, also known as Grundislav, and with me, as always...
Hello, I am Ben Chandler, also known as Ben304. Hello, Francisco. How are you?
I am well, Ben. I'm closing my eyes because it's weird when I podcast and you're in the same room because it's weird.
It's not. We haven't done too many where I'm in the same room as you.
We've done like, I think this is the third one.
What a treat. For all of our many listeners.
Yes, what a treat for all of our many listeners. We could just stare awkwardly at each other.
I'm not going to look at you.
Come on, make eye contact.
It's more awkward if I do this while you do that, because you're trying to make it awkward, but I can make it more awkward if I refuse to look at you whatsoever.
But what if I do this?
You can try.
What if I do this?
What if my head swivels 180 degrees like an owl?
Okay, never Anyway.
That would be kind of exorcist.
I guess it would be. Hmm. I'm alright, how are you? I'm full of pelmeni and things. Hmm. We went to have a nice Russian lunch.
Yes, we did have a Russian lunch.
Are you just not going to look at me this whole time?
I just looked at you.
Okay.
I'm looking at you now.
Oh, good, thank you.
Hmm. I'm full of chicken.
Yes.
They literally bought out an entire chicken.
Yes, they did.
That had been flattened, and we ate.
Yes.
It was good.
It was a good meal. Hmm. So, I want to get right down to it and talk about...
No messing around here, folks!
Well, no, not really. How I haven't seen you since what we're going to talk about, and we've kind of already sort of caught up with our respective lives, and the listeners don't care about those things. So let's talk about what we really want to talk about, which is GDC. Mm. I want to know all about your first GDC.
Well...
I have many questions...
It's
that's actually not true. I haven't prepared any questions, but I'm sure I can think of some. But I have a few questions I want to ask, and then I want to hear a little bit about your personal experience at GDC. This was your first GDC.
It was my first GDC.
Was it your? Do you think it will be your last GDC?
Oh, I can't predict the future that easily, Francisco.
Well, I mean, what I'm asking is
only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Get out of my apartment.
Okay, bye.
Come back! I guess my question is, aside from needing to be there for, which I guess is why you were there this year, would you go back of your own accord?
I think it depends. I think it's hard to explain what GDC is. I was pretty fortunate this year because I didn't have to buy a ticket to GDC. I was coming anyway to the United States in the time frame that GDC was. So basically, it was like, you know, I have to book a hotel room for a week,
yes.
Which was hard enough, and like get flights. Mm. So, you know, I didn't pay the big expense. And like, honestly, the pass that I had, how much is the pass that I had worth?
The All Access Pass, I believe, is... It depends, because there's early bird prices, and then
but
there's,
like
on
just...
the day prices.
Right.
And,
but it's a staggering amount of money.
Yeah, it's let me make sure. But it's over $2,000.
Right. You know, and then the hotels are... You know, it's an inner-city hotel. You pay what you expect to pay for a hotel.
Yeah.
And, you know... I had no cooking facilities, so I was eating out all the time.
Right.
You know, it's
you had the all-access pass, right?
Yeah.
So the early bird access price is $1,999.
Mm-hmm.
The regular price is $2,399.
Right.
And on-site is $2,499.
Right.
So
there were people that I was sitting next to in lectures...
Yes.
You know, because I talk to a lot of people there, and like, you know, you're sitting next to someone at a lecture, you're obviously interested in the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And fairly universally, we found that we didn't learn a lot from the lectures as an instructional thing. You know, they were interesting and fascinating, but as an educational thing, you know, I was sitting next to freelance 3D artists that have bought a pass to go to this thing, and... freelance 3D artists don't make that much money, you know, especially young freelance 3D artists. And then you see a lecture that you learn nothing from and you think, I wonder if they think this is worth it, you know. Mm. As a networking thing, I mean, any meetup is going to be good at networking. It was great for networking. I met literally everybody.
Yeah, that's what happens.
So, yeah. In terms of, like, Dave had a booth, and I sort of manned the booth in shifts with Dave and Janet. And I don't think we sold many copies. I mean, it's not a customer. It's not a gamer's thing. It's developers. So, you know, it was cool to be like, oh, you're the person who made this game. I love that game and that.
Yeah.
In terms of spending that amount of money to come across and do that, I mean, we're indies.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I've kind of come to that same... Like, this was my 8th GDC.
Mm-hmm.
And I've... You mentioned that, yeah, I mean, I've talked about it on the podcast a lot, and you didn't know what GDC was. I think we still, neither of us really know what GDC actually is. But yeah, like, just, I guess this is finally the year that I got over it.
Because,
I mean, yeah, I was at, I also, like, Application Systems had a booth again at GDC Play, and while I wasn't manning the booth the entire time, I did go to support it and, you know, be there and talk to people and connect with people and stuff. But it's weird because, yeah, GDC Play is like you pay money for booth space, but essentially your entire traffic flow are other developers.
Right.
And yeah, maybe you might sell some copies or whatever or get interest or... But I found like most of the people coming by would like play the game and, you know, a lot of them were like, oh, cool, I'll check it out or whatever. But then there was also the inevitable, oh, I do this, here's my card if you ever need this, you know. Yeah. Which I feel is, like, the main thing. You're not there to sell your game. You're there to sell yourself as much as, as horrible as that sounds.
Well, it's networking, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I'm kind of like, at this point, between the fact that, yeah, like, I also didn't have to pay for a pass because I got, through the demo stuff, I got an expo pass. So, like, I didn't have access to the talks, but... There wasn't really anything that I was dying to see or anything that hasn't really been put up on YouTube. And between that, the like the trip over there, which costs money, the fact that I got the flu for and was out of commission for almost a week and lost a week of work time, the cost of the hotel and everything, I'm just kind of like, I don't really need to go again for a while. At least I'm planning on at least skipping next year, unless... Like, I'll submit a talk or whatever. Unless I get a talk accepted or, like, I get accepted into the IGF or whatever, I'm planning on skipping GDC next year. Because
I think to try and clarify how I feel about GDC, I had a great time. Met lots of great people that I admire a lot.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's a great time. I had a great time too, but I'm over it.
Well, I found it really frustrating because you meet these people that you could spend an entire day talking to,
right,
and you get 10 minutes tops to talk to. Like, that's the very upper limit of what you get to talk. I mean, you and I talk, but we went out to lunch and stuff. And
yeah, but even still, like, we saw each other a fair bit during the conference, but it was like, you know...
Snatches here and there.
Yeah, but I mean, whatever, that was to be expected.
But, like, It's kind of frustrating that you see all these people, you get, you know, you talk for 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you know, and you're like, I've got all these things I could talk to, you know, all these things in common. I wish I had more time to give them, or they had more time to give me, or I'm talking to someone I really admire, but now I have to go and do an interview for this magazine I've never heard of.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. And then that, 9 times out of 10, those interviews never see the light of day.
And I was like, well, I was talking to two people that I really admired, and they're great guys, and we were having a great conversation.
Yeah.
Now I got to go do this. Great, you know. But also, if you're a young person looking to get into making games, or an old person that hasn't done it and is looking to get into making games, GDC is not worth the money.
Oh no! If you're,
you won't learn. You'll make great connections if you're outgoing enough to like approach people,
which a lot of people are not.
Right. Well, they're nerds.
Yeah.
You know, not to pick on people in this industry, but it's. You know.
No, there's a lot of introverts, and putting a bunch of introverts together in a situation where you have to be on pretty much 24/7 for an entire week, it can be draining, and it is draining in a lot of cases.
And you've been to GDC 8 times,
yeah,
and nothing that I've played in any of your games, you couldn't have made without having gone to GDC. All the stuff that you've done off your own back, and like the stuff that inspires you, rather than like, oh, I learned this at GDC, which I paid for this money.
Talks that I've seen that have inspired me have not been talks given at GDC.
Right.
And that's another reason, too, I'm a little over it. And I really, this is terrible, because I feel like we're like the shitting on GDC podcast.
Oh, yeah.
But I also realized, like, GDC is very much, obviously it's the game developers conference,
mm-hmm.
so it appeals to all disciplines of game design.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a narrative summit, and there's special interest groups and stuff that have to do with like narrative design, and the particular things that I'm interested in, you know, you could see like the 3D stuff, but you felt like, or you know, the art stuff, but like even still you felt like the 3D stuff was not at the same level or whatever as your current level, or
right,
you know, you but like it just personally, as like someone who designs adventure games, I realized there's other conferences like Adventure X or the upcoming Narrowscope, or even like East Coast Game Conference or whatever, smaller conventions that are the same people that I like talking to at GDC go to those.
Right.
So even still, it's like, I don't need to go to GDC. Like, there might be one or two people that I only ever see at GDC that, you know, I enjoy talking to them and whatever, but it just feels like I can get more out of other smaller conferences personally.
Yeah. I mean, it's
terrible.
It's interesting because GDC runs the whole range.
Yeah.
You know, you find yourself talking to people from Sony,
mm-hmm.
from Square Enix, from Ubisoft,
mm.
and then you also find yourself talking to people who've been making this game for 5 years in their bedroom.
Right.
And like they get an hour of showroom time shared with all these other people, and it's like it's the whole range, you know.
Yeah.
And what's fascinating to me is that, you know, you talk to someone from Square Enix and they're like, oh, I've always loved your work, you know, and you like, you're just like, oh, that's interesting, you know. And like you realize that it's a lot bigger than you think, and also a lot smaller than you think, which is, I mean, you know, they're just, a lot of the times you talk to a person from Ubisoft, but it might be like, you know, some role that you've never heard of.
Right.
And yeah, like, you don't think of that as a glamorous game dev. There's not Warren Spector that you're talking
right.
to, you know. It's number 73 in the credits list, you know?
Right. Or 730.
Yeah, and like, you talk to people, like, you know, someone from Firaxis come along and,
mm.
and we're talking about stuff, and mm. and I was like, oh, it's interesting that you guys play this stuff, and you know, I talked to someone that had just worked on, like, Rainbow Six games for like 5 years. He was like, I don't play shooters, I like adventure games. I'm like, what are you doing making shooters, man? Adventure games are easy to make. Just make one of those if that's what you want to do.
Well, because he likes playing adventure games.
And he likes money.
Well, there you yeah. go. Well.
But yeah, so, yeah. I mean, the main thing I took away from GDC is networking,
hmm.
but not professional networking, just friendly networking.
Yeah.
I didn't get, like, I mean, I got a couple of job offers at GDC for
really?
People that I already knew. And who have also given me job offers on Twitter where I'm like, I'm too busy to do work for you. But, you
yeah.
know, like, you know, I saw someone in the street and they're like, hey, do you want to work on this? And I was like, hey, thanks for the offer. No. Nice to meet you. But,
wait, did they know who you were? Or was
oh, yeah.
it just a random person on the street?
No.
I was like, hey, you person there, want a job?
Yeah. No, it was people that, and, like, okay. I saw them. I'm like, I know who you are. And they're like, I know who you are. Do you
okay.
want a job? And I was like, no, I'm busy. But it's, but that's, like, the upper extent of it. Most of the people that I talked to, including people that I have admired for years, were trying to find business opportunities. You know, even what I consider experienced, successful developers.
Mm-hmm.
Who were like, oh, we're just trying to figure out how to make some money. And I was
yeah.
like, well, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I got to meet a lot of people and, like, you know, express my admiration for their work and, you know, meet some of the fans.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
You know, it's an expensive way to do it if you're buying the tickets.
Yes.
You know. And, like, I'm talking about money, and just to be totally clear, I could have applied for, like, a grant to get a plane ticket and stuff like that from Western Australian stuff, and people had approached me about, like, Ben, put in for this grant and stuff like that, like, people I know in the Western Australian scene, but nothing was concrete before the deadline, and, like, you know, I
yeah,
have
yeah,
a
yeah.
pretty uncertain schedule at times, so I didn't
yeah.
do that.
Right.
I could have done that. So to be totally upfront, I could have applied for a grant for like a hotel room or something, you know?
Right.
Like for the week. Yeah. So it's, I think it's one of those things where you'll probably get inspired by GDC, but you can also probably get inspired by spending 10 minutes on ArtStation, you know, for a fraction of the price. It's important to put that stuff into perspective, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, and you could have, like, the after parties are probably more fun than the actual stuff during the day.
Oh, yeah.
If you just went to San Francisco for a week and, like, got tips from people you knew on, like, where to go that night, you'd have a great time.
Yeah, sure. I was, like I said, if I hadn't... if I was contemplating this year just going and not getting a pass and not just going to socialize afterwards because it's just as well. Like, you can just spend the day hanging out in the gardens outside.
Or seeing San Francisco.
Or seeing San Francisco if it's your first time, and then just go to the parties.
I didn't get to see much of San Francisco because I was always busy going to lectures and like standing at a booth. But like, I introduced you to a young Western Australian called Daniel.
Yes, Daniel was a very fine young man.
Yeah, and
I'm sad I didn't get to convince him to come running in the morning.
It's funny though, because like, he had the most basic pass, and like, I was sort of, we were sort of walking around together on the first morning, and everywhere we went, the security were like, well, you can come in, but he can't.
Right.
And I'm like, well, and
there's a lot of gatekeeping, unfortunately.
He didn't realize that GDC doesn't start until Wednesday for most people.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's kind of bleak to see like how heavily monetized a lot of the lectures are. And like, I get it, it's expensive to pay, it's expensive to run a show like that, to hire a venue, to make all that stuff happen. But if you're an Indian, you're not making much money, it's pretty hard to like just front up $2,000,
yeah,
plus hotel,
yeah,
plus food, and the food's not cheap.
Nope.
Plus transport.
San Francisco is not a cheap city.
Yeah, so it's a lot of money, and like, for what you get, I would say you're better off emailing someone you admire and be like, hey, I love your work, I'm trying to learn this. You know, watch some YouTube tutorials if you're trying to learn.
Yeah.
If you want to go have a party, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't regret going to GDC. You know, it was a hassle.
Wouldn't expect you to.
It was a hassle. It was a pain in the ass sometimes, but like, I had a good time.
Okay. Well, I have specific questions for you.
Cool, let's go.
All right. Number one, what did you think? This is your fourth time visiting the United States.
Sure.
This is your first time spending more than... this is your first time spending any significant amount of time outside of the state of New York.
Yeah.
What did you think of California?
I liked it.
What did you think of San Francisco?
I like San Francisco. I'd been given a pretty bleak impression of San Francisco, so I kind of went in expecting the worst.
Okay.
San Francisco is interesting to me because it was one of the first cities I knew existed in the United States. I knew that San Francisco existed before I knew about Chicago or Miami or a lot of other cities. It's one of those cities. So it was cool to see it from that sort of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's a lot of poor people that I felt very sorry for and, you know, stuff like that.
Yes.
But also, I think it's important to keep in mind that I spent a lot of the time in a conference hall and not seeing San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was the brief instance where you and Daniel and I walked up a couple of hills and saw a bit of
downtown. We saw like downtown. four blocks,
which is not much, but yeah. I actually got a chance to do a lot more sightseeing this time around, which was nice because Jess and I got there on the Sunday. And we spent Sunday just wandering around, which we climbed a lot of hills and were very, very sore, had very sore legs.
City's got some hills, man.
It's got some hills.
Yeah.
And also the day after Saturday, because they didn't do GDC feet this year, so we did our own little GDC feet and walked and got to see the sunset over the Pacific, which was nice. And Yeah, so I got to see a lot more of the city, which was cool. We stumbled upon the cable car museum, which was cool. I learned that the cable cars are not actually electric powered at all. They are just gripping cables that are pulled by giant wheels under the streets.
Makes sense that they're called cable cars.
It does. Anyway, I interrupted you. Tell me more about your thoughts about San Francisco.
I stayed in what's possibly the most 1970s hotel imaginable. Manned by a man that was probably old in the 1970s.
Okay.
There's
a lot of relics of a bygone era in San Francisco.
Yeah, and this
and
guy,
I guess he was one of them.
This guy was not only one of them, but he was wearing some relics as well. And
oh.
You were
pretty close to like the Haight-Ashbury area, right? Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean,
so yeah.
I because I booked everything very late, I got a hotel at quite some distance, you know, which means I had a 40-minute walk in the morning and the evening, which is fine because, you know, you're sitting in a conference hall all day, not moving.
Right.
So it was nice to have that sort of that walk. And I got to see a bit of the city. I mean, to be fair, I was on the main street.
Yeah.
So most of the time I'm walking down the main street of San Francisco, like, which gets pretty samey, like, pretty quickly.
It's got pretty wide sidewalks, though.
It does have wide sidewalks.
It has some of the widest sidewalks I've seen in any American city.
Mm, yeah, they're very wide sidewalks, which, you know. But I don't know. Like, I didn't see enough of the city to form any sort of nostalgia for it or sentiment for it.
Mm.
But at the same time, I didn't encounter... I mean, I walked through the bad part of town once for, like, 2 blocks.
Mm.
And I saw some stuff there that I expected to see throughout the whole city from what I'd been told.
Mm.
Like, the way that I'd been told about San Francisco, I expected the entire city would be like that, which it wasn't, thankfully.
Right.
And...
What'd you think of how it smelled?
Too much... cannabis smoke, like just constant smell of people smoking weed.
Yep.
Like, and you know, I mean, I play in a band, so I hang around musicians, so
right.
every now and then you have to tolerate that smell, but it's like now and then, not like every 2 feet is someone else smoking weed. So you know, that was, and I remember like getting on the plane to like go back to New York and just smelling my coat, and I was like, oh man, I can't get away from the lingering smell of weed. But, you know, I liked it. I didn't think it was, like, a magical place or anything. But to me, all cities are kind of samey because I'm a small-town boy, and I probably noticed the differences less than someone like you that's lived in cities.
Actually, that's another question I wanted to ask you. Did you notice any sort of difference from, like, San Francisco to New York City, like the East Coast, West Coast dynamic?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, even the architecture is totally different.
Okay.
Which I really like. I like looking at the architecture a lot. There's some stuff that I've never seen before there. And
we were talking about like the old California's looking buildings that I think are really cool.
It was interesting, and because I probably look at the buildings more than someone that lives there all the time, because they're just buildings and you get used to walking past them. But I was walking along with Edmundo.
Mm.
He offered to walk me home one night. We'd been out. I didn't stay out too late after the first time I stayed out late, because I'm like, oh, I'm tired. And,
right.
You know, I was still kind of jet lagged, to be honest.
Right.
I sort of was pointing out some of the stuff that I'd seen every day on my walk. I was like, oh, I like that roof, I like that. That's interesting, I've never seen that before, about certain things. And he was like, oh, I used to live around here, I never noticed that particular building.
Mm.
But there's such a diverse array, especially on Market Street, of different architectural styles all in a row, that like there's always something fresh to see, and I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of the very current coffee shop style things, you know, which are, to me, feel a little tacked on to any city because they're all kind of homogenous.
Yeah.
But this stuff that was actually, you know, where the paint was flaking,
right,
was quite authentic and original looking to me.
Mm.
Yeah. And you know, you got the old like trams, I'm going to call them, though you call them streetcars or cable cars.
Cable cars, the trolleys. Yeah.
I liked one night I was walking home from some sort of meetup, and it was pretty late, and I walked past a couple of guys pushing this old relic one around on a wooden turntable, and I sort of stopped and watched them do that. That was quite a delight, a bit of a treat on my walk home. So
yeah. Well, I mean, San Francisco is the only city left in the United States that has working cable cars and streetcars. Well, no, not streetcars, because New Orleans has streetcars as well, but cable cars for sure.
But yeah, so I like that. But I wouldn't say that I've seen San Francisco to any great extent.
Did you actually ever get to see the Golden Gate Bridge? Oh, nope. It was hiding the whole time.
Well, I mean,
it was right there, and yet so, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I was there for a reason.
Well, yeah, of course.
And
of
I could have taken an extra day and toured and everything like that. But
yeah, but yeah.
I would rather tour at a time when I'm more leisurely.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense. I had another follow-up question about the city, but I don't... Oh, yeah, you were with us when we... Yeah, you were there when we went into the 450 Sutter building, right? The Grim Fandango. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's cool.
That was a cool building.
I think the most surreal thing... I mean, because most of my time spent there was like at GDC, but the most surreal thing is seeing so many people that you know as an internet person just down the street.
Right.
You know, like I was walking down the street eating an apple going towards GDC, and I saw Jay Tholen across the street.
Right.
Like, you know, I just waved, and he's looking at me like, who's that guy across the street? I'm like, I don't know who that guy is. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I and Chris Olsen were sitting having lunch.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I introduced you to someone that I'd met that used to work at Telltale, who introduced us to his friend that works at Double Fine.
Right.
And then, like, you look behind, you're like, oh, Chris Bateman walked in.
Yeah.
And I went over and, like, said goodbye to him, basically. And he's like, oh, here's one of the Oliver twins. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, this is kind of surreal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's interesting. In my car, on the way back to the airport, I was talking to the driver who has been in San Francisco since the 80s, and he came as an immigrant at 15 that didn't speak any English, you know, and he was telling me how...
Where from, did he say?
He came from... I don't want to say somewhere in Asia, but I forget exactly where. Yeah.
All right.
And he was telling me he didn't speak a word of English, and he had a job washing dishes, and he couldn't understand why he was always getting in trouble, because he didn't understand a word of English, and he slowly learned... And he was talking to me because he said, you know, his son likes video games and would like to learn how. But the thing that he told me that interests me is that they have two major conferences in town. One is GDC and one of them is the Librarians Conference.
Hmm.
And he says he does so much better out of the GDC, he said, because librarians don't go out to party, so he never drives anybody home.
Like, nice.
But he said GDC is like, I'm busy all week, man.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But yeah, he was a great guy. But it was interesting to like hear that thing because... Software developers like to party.
Oh, yeah. They may be introverts, but
I think
there's partying.
I think if you get two people with, like, sort of secular interests and you put them in the same room, you can see the chemistry. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's exciting to meet somebody with those same interests that you have.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess this will lead me into my second topic about hot gossip. Who'd you meet? Who was cool? Who was an asshole?
I didn't meet,
I don't think anybody was an asshole.
Who were the
people that... So I know we had this... I think we briefly talked about this in the last episode. I kind of joked that I thought it would be funny if we were like in the same room and I was like, look, it's so-and-so. And you're like, eh, whatever, so what? And I know you've talked about like you don't really get starstruck. But was there anybody who you didn't expect to meet that you did and were kind of pleasantly surprised to meet?
Yeah, probably my favorite story of meeting someone who I knew of and didn't expect to meet was Steve Moretzky, because I sort of met up with Dave for lunch in the lunch hall area.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw Steve Moretzky sitting at the table with him. I was like, oh, that's Steve Moretzky. Did you freak out, Dave? And Dave was like, yes, I did. And I like got a selfie with him. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And sort of, I just mentioned something to Steve Moretzky. I was like, hi, hello. You know, I played your games when I was a kid. Mm. And I had this question about the Planetfall book that I had been kind of burning in the back of my mind for ages because it's a terrible book. And I was like, what the hell happened? He was like, I had no say in that.
Right.
But I noticed he was kind of, not standoffish, but like, not, you know, he was just kind of like, someone's talking to me, okay, I'll finish the conversation, then I'll get on with my day, you know. So that's fine. I didn't expect a great deal of... I didn't expect anything, really. It was just interesting to meet Steve Moretzky, who, right, to me, is something of a formative figure in the work that we do.
Right.
And then I had... That night, I was talking to Dave Grossman in a bar. And we had a, you know, we had a good old chat, and we were just talking about the genre that we work in, and I was sort of mentioning stuff, and he was mentioning stuff, and he told me this story about being a kid and playing Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and getting stuck on the Babelfish puzzle, which we all got stuck on, you know. And I was,
those of us who played the game anyway.
Right, and I was like, well, yeah, fair enough.
Sorry.
But yeah, I was like, that was a crazy puzzle and so many different layers, and like, you just, when you think you got it figured out, like, you see something else and you're like, oh my god, what is it next, you know? And he told me this story about he'd been at his friend's place and they were working through it and he got stuck and he was pedaling his bike home from his mate's place and as he's riding home, he like realizes what the solution is and he's like pumping the pedals and like desperate to get home. And I've had the same experience with like driving home from work and I'm thinking about the game that I'm playing and like the puzzle solution just occurs in my head and I'm like trying to get home, you know.
I had the same thing happen walking home from the bus stop home after school.
Right.
Yeah.
So I remember, so I thought, oh, this is a great story. And Dave Grossman gets home, he rings his friend up. He's like, hey, hey, get on the computer and try this. His friend tries it and it works, you know. This is obviously the days before online walkthroughs.
Well, yeah, obviously.
So the next day, I'm standing at the Unavowed booth, and Steve Moretzky walks past. I'm like, Steve. He's like, oh, hi. And I'm like, I was talking to great Dave Grossman last night, and he told me this story. And I proceeded to tell him Dave Grossman's story, because he designed the puzzle.
Right.
And I'm like, this was Dave Grossman's, like, this inspired him to make puzzles and stuff, you know, this thing. And Steve Moretzky's face lit up like a Christmas tree, man. Like,
oh, that's nice.
A big smile and everything. And he's like, that's what I love about games. That's what I miss about games now. He's like, you don't have that moment. Like, you just go on the internet and look it up or wait for the in-game hint to, like, help you. He's like, you don't have that moment. And I could see passion there that I thought was really cool, you know? So, yeah, that was pretty cool to me. Like, a pretty... You know, whether you agree with that or not, whether that's what you find enjoyable in games, to see a guy that's of that vintage, still the idea of puzzles and stuff, like, light his face up with enthusiasm was pretty cool to me.
That is cool. What a lovely story.
Yeah.
Tell me more!
Well, I met...
Who else did you meet?
I met Tim Schafer for, like, 2 seconds.
Oh, right, because of the... Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Well, I guess that kind of follows in, because there was the IGF Awards, and you went to the IGF after party, and there was a lot of people there.
There was.
A lot of who's who.
Yeah, I met Graham Devine.
Yes. What was he doing there, by the way?
Well, he...
What's he working on these days?
He's working on, like, VR stuff. But he was always kind of an innovator.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was sort of... I was explaining... to a few younger people what Graham Devine had achieved in his days, especially like the 80s, you know.
When of course.
And they were like, you've got a man crush on this guy. And I was like, no, I'm just very familiar with old people's work. But, you know... You mean
people's old work.
Yeah, but that's still...
It's all about the word order there. You don't want to insult him.
That guy's very much still, like, trying to push limits, you know, even in this day and age. So that was cool. I mean... I met a lot of people. A lot of the time, I guess I was just joking around with them, you know. I was standing at the... A lot of the times, I would meet people via Unavowed. People who played Unavowed and came up. And I'm like, oh, hi, cool, thanks for playing. And then I'm like, what do you do? And they're like, oh, I work at Firaxis.
Right.
And I'm like, right, we got to talk.
Right.
I like Civilization. I like XCOM. That's fine. Right. But you need to make a sequel to Sid Meier's SimGolf. And they're like cracking up laughing. I'm like, no, I'm serious. That's the greatest game your company has ever made. I need you to make a sequel. And, you know, and it's funny because I was talking to Chris Floyd. And we were like, he was like, hey, do you want to go get something to eat for 10 minutes? I'm like, sure, Chris, you're a great guy. Let's go for a walk. And, you know, he wasn't there to talk about, like, the Life is Strange stuff or anything like that. He wanted to talk about old games with me. I'm like, this is my guy. This is, you know. So I'm like, I just told the Firaxis guy this. He's like, oh, I love SimGolf. That was the greatest game. No one ever played it. And I was like, you're a good guy, Chris Floyd. And, you know, stuff like that. It was mostly... I am very much out of touch with current games.
Oh, so, me too.
So, like,
but I feel like you're less out of touch with current games than I am.
You're so full of nonsense.
Why?
Which one of us is playing an Assassin's Creed?
Oh, that doesn't count. I'm talking about indie games.
Oh, well, indie games is different.
Yeah, I guess.
I talk to more AAA people than indie people.
Okay, well.
Genuinely.
I didn't talk to any AAA people. Wait, no, that's not true.
You must have done. You must have talked to somebody.
You're not a AAA person.
No, but I was talking to lots of AAA people.
Yeah, but you were talking to them. I wasn't...
That's fair.
I wasn't going to crib in on your conversation.
But yeah, so I felt very much like, you know, I was talking to some guys that worked on Red Dead Redemption 2. I'm like, well done, you got lots of awards.
Oh, yeah.
I liked the first game, you know, and like talking to someone that worked on 6 of the Assassin's Creeds, and you're like, woohoo! Talking to like a quest designer at Bethesda that's like, I recognize you as the art guy from Unavowed. I saw your photo in the commentary. I'm like, oh, that's very cool. I played through Skyrim in a weekend. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, and yeah. Even talking about Skyrim, Skyrim is an old game.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm. But yeah, in terms of indie stuff, I knew like all the indie games. Like,
yeah.
We were going to set up the Unavowed booth and I see like Alto's adventure team. I'm like, I love your game. And they're like, oh, thank you.
I got to meet Luis Olivan Tenorio of Dead Synchronicity
and Do Not Feed the Monkeys. Yeah.
You brought him over.
I did, because he was talking to me about stuff, and I was like, you must have met Francisco, right? He was like, no, I haven't. I'm like, oh, he's just over here. I'll take you to him. I was like, you have to meet. And then you started talking in English. I'm like, what are you two doing?
Well, you were there. It was rude.
I took him there to talk to you. Because he expressed his admiration for you.
Well, it was very sweet of him.
I was like, if you've never met him, he's literally 2 minutes walk that way. Come with me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I met, you know, a lot of people. You know, I met...
Did you get a chance to talk to Terry Kavanaugh? Because he was right around the corner from you.
I did. Yes. Yeah, he was right around the corner. He was on the booth right next to me.
Oh, right.
And we sort of had a very quiet and awkward moment where I was like, loading compliments on him endlessly, and he had no idea how to respond, which was great.
I have to say I didn't meet him, but I saw him from afar for the first time. He was not what I was expecting.
What were you expecting? An old wizened gnome from the hills or something?
No, I was expecting a younger person. Not to say that he's old.
He's not old at all.
But he's older than I thought he was going to be.
How old do you think it was? 18?
No, I thought he was like, I don't know, in his mid to late 20s or something. He's like in his 40s, right?
I didn't ask him how old he was.
I don't know.
We were talking about more substantial things.
He looked like somebody's dad that takes them to like a computer fair.
I look like somebody's dad that takes them to a computer fair.
You look like the Kurgan.
That's true. I do. That's true. But yeah, so I had a... And they had Dicey Dungeons there.
Yes.
And I had a brief moment where there was no one else around. So I turned all of the dice. They had many die on their thing. And I turned all of them to the number one.
Okay.
Yeah. That's right. Dice is plural. Obviously, it's got a sound.
Yes.
So yeah, I turned all of the dice to the number one. And I met like... I met everybody, you know. I like the whole Paratopic team and, you know, Grace Bruxner of Frog Detective and, I met a lot of people, and there are a few indie games there that I didn't recognize. You know, I went and played one of them, and that game had the person's friend helping out the booth. I'm like, oh, hi, is this your game? And they're like, no, this is my friend's game. I'm just standing in. Do you want to try it? I'm like, sure. So I put it on, played through the demo for like 10 minutes. Was like, oh, that was great. Turn around, and it's the actual guy there that like made it. Like, oh, hey, thanks for playing. I'm like, cool, this was really good. Let's talk. So the games that I didn't know, I basically knew those people by the end.
Right.
You know? And yeah, there's just too many people to mention them all, you know. And it's funny because like people like Chris Bateman and Jonathan Ackley came along and they're like, oh, you wouldn't know who I am. And I'm like, I know who you are, believe me.
I was telling you I had the same experience with Jonathan Ackley. He's like very down on himself about, you wouldn't know who I am, I feel.
Chris Bateman was like, oh, you wouldn't know which games I worked on. I'm like, try me. He's like, Discworld Noir. I'm like, I own 3 copies of that. two for PC, one in the big box, one in the DVD case, and one for PlayStation 1. He's like, oh my God. And then, like, after we talked, he emailed me, and I was like, Chris Payment, I gotta look this up. And I was like, you're the guy, you did Cult Heretic Kingdoms. He's like, oh my God, you've played two of my games? He's like, you are a very rare gentleman indeed. I was like, I know so many people that like him.
He's a very nice man. I only met him for very briefly because you pulled me. You literally pulled me over to you.
Well, I'm encouraging in the most direct of forms.
Yeah. You are. And just from talking to him very briefly, he was like, hey, if you're ever in Manchester, let me know. We'll go on a pub crawl.
Go on a pub crawl. That's what he says.
And then I got in touch with him via Twitter, and I sent him a key to Lamplight City, and he emailed me and very kindly followed up. And he's a very nice guy.
He's a good guy.
He was at AdventureX, but I didn't really get a chance to talk to him at AdventureX because I didn't.
I
felt bad because I've never played Discworld Noir, so...
It's pretty hard to get working now.
Yeah, well, it's also was never available in this country, so...
I find myself aggressively introducing people to each other. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Sometimes you gotta do that push.
But yeah,
yeah, I was very happy to finally get to meet Jay Tolan this year.
Mm.
Because I feel like we've passed each other like ships in the night at previous...
You lived in the same state for two decades.
I don't think we lived there or knew of each other at the same time, though.
Right.
When did Dropsy come out?
Oh, man, I'm an old man. I don't have a memory anymore.
Dropsy came out after I had already moved here, I think. And that's how I first knew of him.
Right.
So, yeah, I think I had already left Florida at the time. To be fair, he also escaped Florida.
Mm. He escaped a lot further away.
Well, yeah, he did.
But, you know, I found myself, once I met two people with similar interests, I was like, you two should meet!
Yeah, no, it's... Yeah.
I think Sarah Grayson...
2015.
...appointed me her PR person.
She was cool to talk to.
And
she was very friendly as well. Sarah Grayson being the voice actress who...
Gone Home.
...played the sister in Gone Home.
Mm-hmm. And,
I forget her name, but... Also, the guy who made West of Loathing was at the adventure party.
He was a
cool guy. Yeah, Zach.
And I love West of Loathing, like, beyond most other point-and-click adventure games I've ever played, because it has the RPG mechanics, which I also love.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I was there talking to Emily.
Yes.
Just briefly, chatting to her. And he comes along and gives her this packet for her birthday.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, happy birthday, Emily. She opens the packet. And
were you? No, go ahead.
And it's a boxed copy of West of Loathing. And I look at the guy, I'm like,
yeah,
did you have anything to do with West of Loathing? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I love that game. And he's like, oh, what did you work on? He's like, I'm like, oh, I did this little game called Unavowed. He's like, oh, I love that game. I'm like, you're a fine gentleman. Let's talk. So, you know, we had a good chat.
Good.
And then, yeah.
Did I tell you about what happened when Emily was leaving the party?
No.
Oh. When Emily was leaving the party, I said goodbye to her, and I was like, oh, happy birthday again. And I don't know how it happened, but I very clearly said, I don't even remember what led to this, but I basically said something which implied that I was asking her how old she was turning.
Mm.
But then I very clearly said, I'm not saying this to like try and get you to tell me how old you are. And she goes, how old do you think I am?
Yeah,
and I was like, oh no!
You're in the trap then.
I'm trapped!
You're in the
trap.
And
I'm like, so she made me guess how old she was.
I just go, if ever anybody asks me that, I either go, depending on what I suspect their age is, I either go comedy way too high or comedy way too low.
I did the same thing. I think I said 29 or something. Mm. I don't know. Mm. But I immediately started off by telling her how old I was, and I was like, are you older than me? Because I think I was still on track because I had had a conversation with John Ingold of Inkle,
mm-hmm.
in which he was like playing the old, I'm such an old man card. And I was like, how old are you, John Ingold? And he told me, and I'm like, I'm your age. And he was like, oh,
your
well,
hair
good
has,
done, sir.
Your hair has been kinder.
Well,
But John Ingold.
John Ingold might listen to this podcast. Be nice. He doesn't listen to this podcast.
He doesn't. Dude, in my very first conversation with John Ingold, I irreparably ruined any chance I ever had of him ever respecting me ever again.
Why? What did you do? Oh, wait. Because you talked to him about Trespasser and
Boobs. Yeah, I told him that he could fix all of his problems by putting more cleavage in his lovely, beautiful, thoughtful game.
I actually saw him quite a bit this year, more so than usual.
I saw him a couple of times.
He came over and said hello at the very first night, which was very nice of him, and we had a little chat. And then they had like a little Inkle party, impromptu Inkle party after the IGF Awards. Mm-hmm. So I went to that for a little while and basically monopolized conversation with him for a while, and then I saw him again at the adventure party.
He's a lovely.
But it was nice. Yeah, he's really fun to talk to. But yeah, so.
But notice how I said he's a lovely chap, not a nice guy, because he's so English.
Oh, he's the most English person. He came up to me and gave me a hug when he first saw me and said, "Hello, Squire." And I was like, "Yeah, he's a very warm British man."
He fist bumped me the second time I met him.
Did he?
And I said, "That's very modern of you, John Ingold." And he said, "Well, I didn't want to shake hands. I didn't want to transfer germs." And I said, "I've seen people elbow touching a fair bit." And he's like, "Oh, that's very strange." Mm-hmm. And then we sort of put our forearms up and were sparring. And then he gave me an almighty push like that. I went, "You're getting very violent, John Ingold." And he said, "I think you've bruised me. I'm a delicate flower." Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's a very English man right there.
He is very English. But yeah, he tells me I'm 37, and I said, "I'm 37. He was like, "Oh," and he fist bumped me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "When's your birthday?" And he said, "May." And I said, "I'm older than you, John Ingold."
That's because you're terrible at math.
I am terrible at math. He said, "May," and I'm like, "I'm older than you, John Ingold. Mine's in January." And then I was like, "Oh, wait a minute." Actually, he said, "Wait a minute." He's like, "I'm going to be 38 in May." I'm like, "Oh, crap. I just turned 37 in January, so you are older than me. But only by a few months."
Anyway, we're not going to reveal Emily's age.
No, we're not. We're gentlemen.
But
tell you after the podcast.
I feel like this has just turned into another gossip episode.
Oh, it always turns into a gossip fest. No, I had another question.
You should have written them down.
I should have written them down, but I wanted to be spontaneous.
Yeah, it's never happened.
Nope. I don't remember.
What does that light switch do?
Nothing.
I thought so. You've never used that switch.
No, that light switch is complete. There's no ceiling lights in this room.
So weird.
Yeah, no, that light switch is completely useless.
How peculiar.
It is. I like the cover though.
It's nice.
Maybe
it's
I should take them with me when I leave.
I doubt it.
No,
that's
I'm not
going to
take them with me.
They're decorative. You don't want to deprive the future residents of the
You're
nice
right.
decorative.
You're right.
Switch covers.
Anyway,
sorry. Sorry, listeners.
No, it's fine. It's not like we edit this podcast.
No.
So GDC meeting people. I feel like there was something else I wanted to ask that was important, but I don't know what it was. How did you feel about the whole, like, having to stand there and tell people, "Play my game"?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I hate it.
Really?
I get tired of it after a while.
I like it.
Because you watch them play over the same thing over and over.
You watch them make the same mistakes
and over and over and over again, and it gets real boring.
Well, it's interesting with Unavowed, because you've got three options.
That's true.
And so you're, like, it's interesting to see who picks what, and then within that, what they pick.
Yeah.
You know, so the fact that there's a couple of different paths makes it more interesting, probably, than, like, playing the same thing over where you probably just get bored of it. Yeah. So I didn't mind that. And I'm quite aggressively friendly. And so, you know, someone would be walked past. I'm like, "Hi there."
Chris Bateman, in his email that he sent to me, he mentioned that he was worried that you had frightened poor Oliver, Mr. Oliver.
Poor Oliver, Oliver. Poor Oliver number two.
Yes. Can't say yes, our friend.
I am quite aggressively friendly and will sort of see someone and be like, "You're that guy. Hi. Right. I like you."
Right.
But I'm like that in my everyday dealings, and I think most people realize that I'm just an innocent, loud farm boy that, like, you know, that...
But again, I think when you take into account that these are a bunch of introvert game developers, that might be scary.
Perhaps, yeah.
But it is a good way to make people feel important and feel like, you know, you're interested in you're genuinely interested in talking to them.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things where I benefited greatly from GDC, because I'm interested in a lot of different aspects.
Yeah.
You know, even though I only do art now.
I remembered my other question, by the way.
Okay. I'm interested in a lot of aspects. I'm interested in people. And if you like listening, there's a lot of people at GDC that are willing to give you a lot of generous insight and information if you ask them. Mm. You know, like, how does this work? You know, and you probably learn more from that than the lectures, because you'll go there with specific questions. And there, my first morning on the expo floor, I actually went to a number of different stalls, you know, and just said, "Hi, I use your software. I'm unable to do this. I'm too lazy to look at your forums." Which
you went to the Unity one and harassed them.
That was one of them, yeah. Yes. And there was a few others. And, you know, I went to the Amazon stand every morning, mm-hmm. because I met a guy randomly that works for Amazon. Right. And he and I got talking and hit it. And, like, you know, he used to work on Ultima back in the day. He kept all of the archival Origin art when Origin EA shut the office down, mm. and, like, gave half of it to the guy with the Ultima Museum and another half, right, like, sent it over the seas. And I'm like, I'm like, dude, you're a legend. You work for Amazon. How is that? Like, how did you go from, like, doing sprites and stuff for Ultima 8 to being, mm. like, a marketing manager at Amazon? Like, what's that journey like? You know? And it's interesting, you don't think of a marketing manager at Amazon as being a passionate person that loves games,
mm-hmm.
and has a soul rooted in the history of games. And this guy was exactly that. So I went and saw him every morning.
That's good.
I'm like, dude, how you going? Like, and like, on the very last day, like, we stopped and had a real good chat. He's like, dude, we got to keep in touch. Like, you know, I'm like, this is a marketing manager from Amazon. I don't even use Amazon anymore after they messed my account up. Like, mm. and this is, like, the best guy that I've met at the show, you know?
I used them to order NyQuil when I got sick after the flu. They brought it to me in 2 hours. It was very nice.
Yeah, so, like, you know, it's just, it's a little surreal, but I guess I expected that as well, because they're just people, you know?
Yeah.
And I sent so many emails.
Yeah. You were good about it, because you were sending emails during the conference.
Every morning I'd wake up before I went out and got my breakfast. I'd get all the business cards I'd been given the day prior.
Yeah.
And write emails to all those people, because
otherwise... See, I did that when I got home.
Otherwise, I'd forget who they were.
Right.
Because you meet too many people.
Yeah,
especially if you grab people and, like, hi.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
I did get a very nice email from a guy who said that he had put a fold and a star on my business card because... so he could remember to send me an email. That's because cool. Apparently we had had a good chat.
Right.
And I was like, who is this guy? Oh, yeah, now I remember who he is.
That's the issue. If you see, when I write an email to them, I also include detail about their work.
Right.
So that when I read that back, I'm like, right, that's who that person is. Of the 50 emails I've sent, this is that person, you know. Because it is a lot.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of your attention. And I was tired every night just from paying attention to people.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. So my last question... did you, well, I know you did, but of the talks that you attended, were there any that stuck out or were memorable?
Good question.
How many talks did you go see?
That's a good question. I saw, I only went talks for the first 2 days, because then the rest of the time I was on the expo floor doing stuff, and, you know, if I wasn't doing stuff, I was
meeting
people. So
you went to the summit talks, basically?
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, I was meeting people for lunch and stuff.
Right.
And I think, you know, I went and saw some Substance stuff, because I use Substance, mm-hmm. and I was interested in what they were doing, but a lot of the times it was, you know, this is our new product, or, you know, this is one way of doing it. I can't remember exactly how many talks I saw. There were none that... I really don't think there were any that super stood out to me as, like, important stuff. And some of them were a little disappointing because the description didn't match the talk very well.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them... There was one point where there was just a random talk that I walked into because I had nothing else to do and I had an all-access pass. Uh-huh. Had nothing to do with my discipline at all.
Right.
I'm like, oh, that could be interesting. And that was probably as interesting, or if not more interesting, than any of the stuff that I thought, oh, I'll learn art stuff from this. Because, like, you've got technical artists talking about how they did a particular thing, but the particular thing that they did, they don't explain how they did it.
Right.
You have to have their proprietary software to do it. And the actual art concept that they're achieving with it is a very fundamental, rudimentary art concept that you and I have known for years.
Right.
So... it's just like, well, okay, you know, that's interesting. It's an interesting insight.
But not interesting enough.
Well, it's more akin to behind-the-scenes trivia than it is to an educational thing that you'd pay over $2,000 to attend.
Right.
if that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense.
It's inspiring, but it's not educational to the point where my work has altered or improved in any way from what I saw at those talks.
You know?
I enjoyed the talks, don't get me wrong.
Did you attend the Narrative Innovation Showcase?
No.
That would be the very first talk on the very first day where Dave talked about Unavowed.
No, I didn't.
What a bastard.
I know. I went and saw Dave afterwards and he was like, oh, you didn't come and see my talk? I'm like, dude, I talk to you all the time. If I want to know something, I can ask you in great detail.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. But I really don't know how to sum GDC up. It's too expensive.
Did you ask any questions at any of the talks?
No, because I didn't really have any.
Okay.
The questions that I had were not pertinent to the talks that they'd given.
Mm.
They were way left of field of what they'd talk about. I could have asked them, but I would have felt impolite, and there were other people with questions.
Right.
So, you know.
Most of the questions, yeah, I don't know. I didn't attend any talks because I didn't have a badge. I had asked you if you would swap badges with me if there were any talks that I wanted to see, but there weren't any talks that I actually wanted to go see that I could think of. So
that's the issue. Is I got given an all-access pass, and I looked through the schedule, and I'm like,
yeah. But in the time since, they've put some up on YouTube, and I have seen a couple of them that were pretty interesting. One by Mike Rose of No More Robots,
right?
Talking about like how to build your games community from scratch,
mm-hmm.
and how like Discord is now the thing.
Yeah,
and he had some pretty good advice in there, and I've kind of been trying to build up some hype for Rosewater with my Discord server. Although he went above and beyond the Call of Duty with his Discord stuff, like. They set up metagames, and like for Hypnospace Outlaw, they created like an entire fake internet on Discord and stuff.
Right.
And I also got, well, more than got the impression, I realized, that he means set up a Discord server for each game, rather than just like, there's not a No More Robots Discord. There's a Descenders Discord. There's a Hypnospace Outlaw Discord. There's a Not Tonight Discord.
That's a lot of work.
And I'm like,
work.
That's too much work. And he's like, but he even said that. He was like, if it's too much work for you, hire someone to be your social media person.
Right,
like,
right.
Yeah, that's great and all, but priorities.
Gotta pay the bills first.
Exactly.
Man. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
Which I was, you know, it was a good talk. He did give a lot of good advice and gave some good pointers, which I followed, but yeah.
I think a lot of the times, you and I are in a very specific niche.
Yeah.
Where a lot of the stuff is... less delegating this to someone that's good at that or working with a team member that's good at that and is just like, well, do it yourself. You know? And you have to be efficient about stuff. You have to be careful about how much time you put into stuff like that and, you know, managing a Discord thing for each game.
Yeah.
You know, even with like a Golden Wake and Lamplight City and Rosewater.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
It is.
Like, yeah.
It's easier to just have a server... general server with several dedicated channels than to have a separate server for each game, because really too, like, how much I guess it depends on how detailed you're gonna get.
I think, but if you're doing things like metagames and stuff like that, you know, I mean, I sit on the Wajedi Discord sometimes, but I also find it an incredible distraction.
Well, yeah.
More than anything else, to be honest. And I'm like, there's days where I'm like, shut it down. I keep it open because, you know, we have like development channels.
Right.
Or rooms, I guess they're called. Where we'll talk about like, you know, oh, I need you to alter this or I want to give you this feedback. But when I'm not using those, I'm trying to get my work done, I'll close Discord because it's an amazing distraction.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not like Skype was a bit of a distraction, but when you've also got like, you know, 50 players in a, you know, whatever, I don't look at numbers or anything, but you've got a bunch of people and they're talking about all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like IRC.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
There was another talk I saw which was pretty cool. Mostly because it could have been a pretty dry and boring talk, but the guy who gave it was really good and funny.
Uh-huh.
It was about creating the AI for Atreus and God of War.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was actually a really good talk, even though it had absolutely nothing to do with any discipline that I'm in, but I played and enjoyed God of War, and it was interesting to see how they made it work and what they changed and stuff. And yeah, I mean, it kind of speaks to the idea of, you know, it can be the most boring subject in the world, but as long as the person giving the talk is entertaining, then that's fine, and vice versa.
Hmm.
But yeah, so I recommend checking out GDC talks that are on YouTube.
I think that's the thing as well. If the GDC talks are on YouTube,
yeah, like some stay on the vault. Like, you have vault access because of your all access pass, so like you can go back and retroactively look at any of the stuff that you may have wanted to see that you missed. Like, I figured you probably would be interested in the Command and Conquer postmortem.
Yeah, I'm actually sad I didn't get to see that.
Well, but you can watch it on the vault,
right? But yeah, that's the thing is, like, yeah, I hate to harp on about money, but it's a very real issue for people trying to get into make games.
No, it totally
or
is.
Or even for people that make games, you know, yeah. and.
There's smarter ways to.
If you want to reach out,
spend your
talk
money
to
than
people
going to
you
GDC
admire.
If you don't have any. Yeah.
They've probably got Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah.
Or an email address.
Yeah.
You know. If you want to see lectures given by intelligent people,
yeah,
it's probably on YouTube.
Probably.
If you want to see San Francisco, you won't do it inside the Moscone Center.
That's right.
Or Moscone or however.
You know where you will do it?
Where?
Inside my hostel room.
Yes, that's
because
true.
If you really want to see the Golden Gate Bridge.
I saw the Golden Gate Bridge, though.
You did.
I drove over in a scissor lift.
You did. That's very true.
While sitting in your apartment.
Yes, exactly. Mm. But there was literally 8 pictures and paintings of the Golden Gate Bridge inside my room.
Mm.
It was very strange. Anyway.
But yeah, GDC was fun.
Good.
It's too expensive for an indie. I stand by that. I genuinely do.
Yes.
If you want to talk to people, I know it's intimidating to reach out to someone online. Guess what? It's also intimidating to walk across a bar and talk to someone that's standing there.
Yes. You can do both at GDC.
You can. You can do one of those without paying any money.
That's true.
Yeah. And people are all very nice, as you and I have mentioned many times in the past. So don't be scared of the people you admire. Unless they're a jerk. And then, in that case, stop admiring them, because they're jerks.
Very good.
Yeah, I don't think I have any more to add than that. It was nice to meet Chris Olsen.
Yes.
And talk about aeroplanes and just general stuff with him, and get you to try coffee without sugar.
that was a good coffee.
A good coffee doesn't need sugar.
Well, yes. Look at you!
Oh, good coffee doesn't need sugar. They can't look at me because this is...
For those of you listening in this audio podcast,
I just
Ben
folded
just,
my arms.
Yeah, folded his arms smugly and turned his head to the side like, I'm big Mr. Know-It-All.
I'm just stalling. I'm glad you're talking because I'm stalling time enough to think of a glib ending thing to just throw at you and then...
Oh.
Close the thing. But it's not going to happen.
I mean, I've got one, but I'm not going to say it because...
Okay.
Anyway. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Sorry that this was just another gossip podcast.
Yeah, people are fine with the gossip podcasts.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Have a nice evening and don't go to GDC. Bye. Oh, wait! I forgot!
I mean, go to GDC.
No,
but,
wait!
But know why you're going.
Oh, yeah, okay. So before I say goodbye, if you want to follow us on Twitter,
yeah.
I'm at Grunislav Games.
I'm at Ben_304.
And together we are at BCT_podcast.
That's weird when you're doing it at the same time as me instead of lagging because of the lag.
That's why you have to take advantage of it. Bye.